الله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
After the past two sessions we had on that introduction that I felt was necessary, as I said, we're going to inshallah tone it down a little bit and just relax and read some Quran together inshallah, and try to understand some Quran together. The surah I've chosen, Surah Al-Muzzammil, one of the first surahs to be revealed unto the Prophet after Surah Al-Alaq.
Mifataha, after these two, there's a difference of opinion which one was revealed first, Muddathir or Muzzammil. So these two surahs, Muddathir and Muzzammil, are surahs 72 and 73 of the Quran. There's a difference of opinion which came first, but what's important is that it's one of the first ones. And it's going to be talking about our Prophet. How much we know our Prophet, I don't know. How close we are to him, I don't know. But what I do know is that those people who are against Islam, they have two things on their list. Number one, mess up the Quran and the image of the Quran. And number two, mess up the image of the Prophet. This whole story of Islamophobia. So this is one of the reasons I liked this surah, to choose this surah, is because it's about the Prophet a little bit, and what he went through, what he had to do, so that we appreciate more his personality and the efforts he made for us. The surah starts, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Ya ayyuhal muzzammil. O muzzammil. Muzzammil comes from mutazammil, which means a person who has worn his clothing, wrapped in his clothing, that for sleep, his sleepwear, let's call it. Okay? He wants to go to sleep, he wants to rest now. What's going on here? Okay, so we see this verse, we don't know exactly what it's talking about. There's history behind it. So we go to the sources, we read, we see that the Prophet was mocked amongst his people. It was not easy in the beginning. It was super hard in the beginning. The verse came, the angel comes, the angel says that it's time to start your mission. Okay, so now what he's going to do? He's going to go and speak against everything his people have been believing in all these years, just because their ancestors, just because their culture said they have to. It's very, very hard to go against culture. Lots of times you have to do taqiyya and not say things against culture, because the people, it's hard for them to accept something they've been practicing all their lives. Now they have to just change it. It's not going to work like that. Some people try to do that. If you bend a stick too much, it'll snap. You have to slowly, you know, spray a little bit of water on it, you know, let it soften up a little bit, slowly, until it bends. Some people, their approach is to, you know, just attack straight up. It's going to snap, and then you're going to snap. You can't fight like that. Anyway, the Prophet has orders here that he has to go. But of course, he's not going to make it public first. As we all know, for the first 3 years, it was a very, very private calling to Islam, an invitation to Islam. Very, very private. After 3 years, the Prophet was ordered to make it public. But anyway, the Prophet is under a lot of pressure. He has come home, he's tired, he wants to sleep, he needs some rest, physical rest, as we all do. Some people think that the Prophet, the Ahlul Bayt, they were some superhumans, something out of the ordinary. Yes, they were very high up there, even physically, even strength-wise, but it wasn't something superhuman. Sometimes we feel like some people look at them as superhumans. If they were going to be superhumans, it would actually defeat the purpose of Allah sending them in the first place. Have we ever thought of this? Allah sends the Prophet so that people see that, okay, this is something I can follow. This is my role model. But if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends a superhuman or an angel or even a jinn to be our Prophet and our role model, someone who takes the lead and we're supposed to follow, people will say, this is too much for us, we can't. He's able to do it because he's super. We're not super. And that's why the Quran says that when we sent, the people would find fault. They would say, what kind of prophet is this? Yamshi fil aswaq, ya'kul al-ta'am. He eats food, he walks in the bazaars, in the markets, and give us someone, you know, give us an angel. Allah says, if I was sending a prophet to angels, then that prophet would be an angel. But since you're human beings, I'm sending a human being to you. Nothing super. It'll defeat the purpose. So the Prophet has been under a lot of pressure. The mocking is getting to him, all of the trouble is getting to him. He has to rest, he's come home, he wants to sleep. He's wrapped in his sleepwear, in his clothing to sleep. Now, the angel comes of revelation, the angel of revelation comes, Ya ayyuhal muzammil. That's interesting. How come the angel doesn't say, Ya ayyuhal nabi, Ya ayyuhal rasul? Anything like that, nothing like that. He says, Ya ayyuhal muzammil. The angel puts his finger on muzammil, the person who's wrapped in clothing. Is that the only characteristic of the Prophet? Why is it that the angel puts his finger on this characteristic? They explain to us, these ulama, the Shaykh Mutahiris, Allama Tabtawis, they say, there's a reason why they put the angel puts his finger on this. He wants to show that, yes, I acknowledge that you are tired. I understand. We understand that you're tired. It's been a long day. Right? When you point something out about somebody, you call them out for something, it means that there's that you have it, you're paying attention to that characteristic of them. There's a reason for that. Here, it's as if he's saying, Oh, Prophet who is tired from that long day of work, from all the pressure, we're acknowledging that. But even though this is the case, we want you to get up. To do what? Ya ayyuhal muzammil, qum. Excuse me. Qum al-layla illa qaleela. Qum al-layla illa qaleela. You need rest. You have a big mission tomorrow. You need physical rest. We understand that. But get up and start to pray. That doesn't make sense though. He needs physical rest. Why is it that you're telling him to get up and pray? Explanation of that we'll get in the future verses, in the coming verses. One thing we have to point out though is that when the Prophet is ordered to pray at night, and this is going to give him energy for the day, although he's tired physically, this is only for the Prophet, which is also something I will explain later. Keep these two. Now, you can see right here from the start, the sha'nun nuzul helped us understand what the verse is talking about, why it's even pointing out this characteristic, the person who's wrapped in clothing, sleepwear. If we didn't know what the story behind it was, we couldn't understand the verse. Sha'nun nuzul, the occasion of revelation, they call it. I want to explain this a little bit. This is important. Sha'nun nuzul helps us understand verses. Very good. But sometimes the sha'nun nuzul, the reason why a verse was revealed, will restrict the scope of that verse to that occasion only. To that person it was revealed about only. And sometimes it's vice versa. Sometimes the sha'nun nuzul will not do such. I'll give you examples for both. So just because we know the sha'nun nuzul doesn't mean that we can say it's only for that time, as is also the case that we cannot say this is for all times. Each case is going to be different. Sha'nun nuzul helps us understand, but whether we can generalize, whether we cannot generalize, that will depend on other proof, other evidence. If I don't have that, it'll become tafsir bil-ra'i that I talked about yesterday. For example, Surah Ma'idah verse 55. A'udhu billahi minash shaitan ar-rajim. Innama waliyukum Allah. The famous verse. Wa rasuluhu. Walladhina amanu alladhina yuqimuna as-salat wa yu'tuna az-zakat wa hum raki'un. Verily, only, indeed, your wali, your guardian, the one who has wilaya over you, is the Allah, the Prophet, and those people who establish the prayer and they give zakat while they are in ruku'. So we've all heard this verse, right? And we all know who it's about. And we know, and we also know that it says those people so that some people don't get upset. Or else it's talking about one person, because only one person fit this criteria. The verse says those people who give zakat while in ruku'. They also have wilaya. So what does that mean? Let me first say the story just for those who might not know. This verse was revealed when a poor person comes. He's asking for money for help. They send him to Imam Ali alayhi salam. Imam Ali is in prayer. He's in ruku'. He comes and asks the Imam while he's in ruku'. Imam Ali gives him his ring in ruku' as zakat, as charity, as whatever. And then this verse is revealed. This is a famous story. The Quran says, the people who have wulaya over you are Allah, the Prophet, and those people who fit this criteria. They give zakat while they're in ruku', which the Shia school believes to be one of the most solid verses that support the idea of the imamate and the wilayat of the first imam, Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam. Now, can I say from, you know, Brother Muhammad, Brother Ali, Brother Ahmad, please, when I'm praying today, while I'm in ruku', make sure it's in ruku', you come to me and I will give you my ring in zakat. So that I will have wilayah. Is it like this? Is this how it works? No. The sha'nun nuzul of the verse, what the verse was revealed for, is restricting the scope of it. Why? Because we know that this was only for him. Why? We have to bring proof for that. We have to have evidence for that. On the other hand, you have verses where it's not going to restrict it. For example, in the story of Ammar bin Yasir, alayhi rahma. Ammar bin Yasir was one of the closest companions of Imam Ali, alayhi salatu wasalam. He was also one of the greatest companions of Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wasalam. He was being tortured by the mushrikeen, him, his family, his mother, his father. His mother and father were eventually killed under torture. Now, it's his turn, and he is also being tortured to the extent that he knows he's going to die. What does he do? He exercises taqiyya. They call it dissimulation. He hides his iman. He denounces his faith on the outside. He might have even spoken ill of Allah and the Prophet, maybe. But he had no choice because he knew he was going to die. After it's all over, and his life is spared because of him denouncing his faith, he comes to the Prophet crying, weeping, upset. What's wrong? I denounced my faith. This verse is revealed. مَنْ كَفَرَ بِاللَّهِ مِنْ بَعْدِ إِيمَانِهِ إِلَّا مَنْ أُكْرِهَ وَقَلْبُهُ مُطْمَئِنٌ بِالْإِيمَانِ The verse is going to talk about, and it goes on, the verse talks about those who become kafir, those who disbelieve in Allah, that they have this punishment, that punishment. But it makes an exception. And they say this exception was for him. Except for he who is forced, is compelled, has no choice but to denounce his faith, while on the inside and in his heart, he has that iman. وَقَلْبُ مُطْمَئِنٌ He has that tranquility. He believes, but he just can't say it, or he has to hide it. Or on the outside, he might even have to speak against it. Alright, this sha'nun nuzul here we have, is it going to restrict the verse to only Ammar bin Yasir? So after that, anyone who does taqiyya and says, I'm kafir, because he's forced to, because his life is in danger, we're going to say, oh, this verse doesn't apply to you, because this verse was revealed for Ammar bin Yasir. If that's the case, then many verses that we have that are for our guidance will have nothing to do with this, because when you look at the surface meaning, they're addressing a certain people. So that means for me, I have to have thousands of verses that have been revealed for me with my name on it, as is with you guys. That's not how the Quran works. The sha'nun nuzul will not restrict the scope here. So you might ask, what's the default when it comes to the sha'nun nuzul? Is the default that it will, or is the default that it will not restrict the scope? I can't say what the default is, but I can tell you this, that usually it will not restrict. Unless you have a good reason for it belonging to a specific person, a specific incident, event, occasion, usually it will be universal and will be applying to everybody. So this is one point to keep in mind about sha'nun nuzul. Here sha'nun nuzul helps us, ya ayyuhal muzammil. Although there's no ruling here, so we're not going to even generalize, it's just saying, ya ayyuhal muzammil, through the sha'nun nuzul we understand what the Quran is trying to say about when it says, ya ayyuhal muzammil. قُمِ اللَّيْلَ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا Stay up and stand in the night, in prayer of course, إِلَّا قَلِيلًا Except a little. Alright, so when we read this, what do we think? We have an understanding of it. إِلَّا قَلِيلًا We have an exception here. إِلَّا قَلِيلًا except for a little. So there's an exception here. There's a rule, and a little bit of this rule is taken out. There's an exception. Pray in the night, except a little of the night. So this one, we have to talk about the exception that is being made. One. Okay, so we have an exception here that is being made. And we have something that an exception is made for. There's two different things. We have illa qalilan, except a little bit. We have to talk about this a little bit. And then we also have to talk about the qalil itself. What does this little mean exactly? So now you guys are laughing at me already. You're like, what does he mean? Little is little, right? We'll talk about it. And then we'll see that some people will miss out on some points here. قُمِ اللَّيْلَ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. Stay up all night except a little bit. Except a little bit. Is this making an exception for the days or the nights that I'm up? Or is it making an exception for the amount that the Prophet is going to be up? Does this mean that the Prophet should stand up in prayer every night? And then, out of every night, a little bit of it, he has to make an exception for and sleep? Or is it saying, no, stay up all night except some nights? In other words, stay up all night every day. But there are some days, for example, you're traveling. For example, you're in battle. And other things, you're sick. Those nights, yes, get some rest and sleep. Which one of these is it? You see how there's different possibilities here. What are we making an exception for exactly here? We need proof for it. We can't just say, oh, that one sounds more, this one sounds more sound than the other one. Can't say that. Allama Tawtawayf, he will tell you, or others will tell you, that of course what is meant here is that out of every night that you have to stay awake, take some of that night out for sleep. Not that you have to stay up all night every night and then there are some nights you're off the hook. The reason for that being that it is reported that the Prophet would sleep. As a matter of fact, the Prophet would say that, I do sleep, but when I sleep, my eyes are asleep, but my heart is awake. Because they would ask him, how is it that you pray? This is a question for me even. The Prophet, his Salatul Layl was different than our Salatul Layl if we do pray it. For him, he would do 2 rakat Salat, sleep. Wake up again. Another 2 rakat Salat, sleep. Wake up again. Another 2 rakat, sleep. Wake up again. As we all know, Salatul Layl is how many rakats? Is 11. That means 5 2 rakat prayers and 1 1 rakat prayer. So that means 5 times he's sleeping, waking up, sleeping, waking up. Sometimes we think, like, how is that possible? Well, it is kind of impossible for us. This was a question for people. The Prophet said, I do sleep, but my heart is awake. In other words, I can wake up whenever I want. And that's what they say, that's the best way of doing Salatul Layl, but please don't try this at home. It's not. The second best method, they say, is to do it in the last, toward the more closer it is to Salatul Fajr time, 10-15 minutes before Salat al-Fajr, 20 minutes, 30 minutes, whatever, is the best time for it. Okay, so having put that behind us, now let's talk about qalil itself. Okay, a little bit. What does a little mean? If we have like a bunch of marbles, like 20 marbles, and then someone takes some of them, if out of these 20 marbles, they took, I don't know, 15 of them, can we say, oh, he took a little bit of them? Right? We can't. Or like, for example, if we have, for iftar time, we have a box of halwayat and someone takes more than half of the box. Can we say, oh, he took a little bit of it? No, not only will we not say that, we might even jump that person. So, you can't say a little. A little means less than 50% at least, right? A little bit less than half at least. Even if they take half, they might still get beat up. Because that's not called taking a little. Think about it. Someone's offering sweets and he says, please, everyone take a little bit. And then someone takes half of it. Half of it's not a little bit. Half is more than just a little. Here it's saying, إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. O Prophet, we want you to stay up, but just sleep a little bit of it. A little bit. What is a little bit here? It means less than 50%? Does it mean less than 50%? Or is it something else meant here? When I look at it, when I see this verse, I'll say, yeah, it means less than 50%. Less than half. Right? But those of you who did your homework 2 days ago when I asked, then let's go home tonight and let's read Surah Al-Muzzammil, just the translation. And the way you're looking at me, it doesn't look like you did that. verse 3 and 4 will prove us wrong, that this is not what is meant by qaleel. When the verse says a little bit, it doesn't mean necessarily less than 50%. Why? Because the verses 3 and 4 say nisfahu aw inqus minhu qalila aw zid alayh. Meaning what? Meaning that the verse 3 and 4 are explaining what is meant by qaleel. You see how Quran is doing tafsir of itself. You don't got to go out of your way. The Quran itself is telling you what I mean by qaleel. Qaleel means a little bit less, 50%, nisfahu. Stay awake and stand in prayer 50% of it. أَوْ انْقُصْ مِنْهُ قَلِيلًا, or a little bit less than 50%. أَوْ زِدْ عَلَيْهِ, or add to 50%, add to that nisf, add to it a little bit more than 50%. So now here someone will say, what does that mean? Because a little bit has to be less than 50%. But the verse is saying it's not. You can have more than 50%, O Prophet of Allah. That's where the ulama explain. They say little means it's something relative, right? Here, when you compare it to how much people sleep, it will be a little. Although it might even be 50, more than 50% sometimes. It'll be more than half of the night. For example, if everyone gets in 7-8 hours of sleep, if they're normal, and those who hibernate 10-12 hours, I don't think it's possible any more than that. If there are, don't raise your hand, don't let us know who you are. But if, for example, let's say the average is 8%, 8 hours, 9 hours of sleep someone gets in a day. If someone is sleeping, instead of 8 hours, is sleeping 4.5 hours. Is that more than 50% or less than 50%? It's more than 50%. But at the same time, can we say, this guy sleeps, he doesn't sleep too much, he sleeps a little. Yes, we can. Because relatively speaking, compared to the amount, to the average that normal people sleep, this is a little. I'm not saying this, I'm not explaining this. So it's something relative. نِصْفَهُ أَوَنْقُصْ مِنْهُ قَلِيلًا أَوْزِدْ عَلَيْهِ is telling us that it's not about 50%, 49%, 51%. It's not about that. It's about you got to give a lot of time to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala during the night time. The Prophet, of course. And they say in the beginning, the people that were around the Prophet, they were also doing this to the extent that they had sleep deprivation. The Prophet maybe even was experiencing sleep deprivation. Allah is trying to tell them, please sleep a little bit. Some say it like this. Some say that these verses are not there to tell the Prophet, get up, make sure you do salat and all that. It's saying, make sure you get some rest actually. It's the other side. Okay. Now we go on, وَرَتِّلِ الْقُرْآنَ تَرْتِيلًا. In the end of verse 4, after it says, أَوْ زِدْ عَلَيْهِ, or add to that half, it says, وَرَتِّلِ الْقُرْآنَ تَرْتِيلًا. Do recite the Qur'an in a tartili fashion, which I'll talk about. Alright, so me coming across this verse all my life, I'm thinking, what is the verse saying? Of course, very simple, very obvious. It's saying, when you're doing Salat al-Layl, and you're adding to that 50%, a little bit less, a little bit more than half of the night, also make sure that next to the Salat that you're doing, make sure that you do some Qur'anic recitation as well. So what does it mean, O Prophet of Allah, after you're done with Salat al-Layl, or before you start your Salat al-Layl, in between the prayers, you know, pick up the Qur'an and recite some Qur'an. Or if the Qur'an, there was no print back then, just recite the Qur'an, recite some Qur'an. O Mu'mineen, do the same. That's what comes to mind, right? Those of us who recited the verses 2 nights ago, this is the first meaning that might probably come to mind. Allama Tawtawai here, he gives us 3 possibilities for this verse. I don't want to bore us. I just want to show us that there's lots more possibilities when it comes to literature that might even not even come to our mind, and sometimes that will be what is meant by the literature. Ulama are the ones who, when I say ulama, I don't mean myself, I'm talking about the greats. They're the ones who spend like 18, 20 hours a day, some of them. I had a landlord, actually. I'll give you a story. I had a landlord. He wasn't one of the great greats. He was a normal alim, normal scholar. He was telling me about his studying back in the day, like 20 years ago, 15 years ago. Well, no, wait a minute. That's 15 years ago, I went to the house. That's like, he was talking about 25 years ago, 30 years ago. We're getting old. Time is flying. 30 years ago, he was talking about like how he was studying. All right. He was telling me that he was doing 18 hours a day studying. And when you, it doesn't add up. All right, when do you eat? When do you sleep? When do you... 18 hours a day, and this is the normal ones. The greats, I don't know what, how many hours their day was. It might have probably been more than 24 hours, because they were getting like 20 plus hours of work, of solid study and work in there. I don't know how. Okay. That was a parenthesis that will close. رَتِّلِ الْقُرْآنِ تَرْتِيلًا. I was talking about how there's different possibilities. These people who have that time, these possibilities come to their mind and they dissect them. رَتِّلِ الْقُرْآنِ تَرْتِيلًا. Allama Tawtawai, he says there's three possibilities here. And I was honest to you that my understanding was that one that I told you all these years. But when I came across this, I was surprised. One possibility is, he says, to recite Qur'an in your salah. In your salah, when you're doing Qur'an, the Fatiha or whatever it is that you're reciting, to do it in a tartili fashion. That's one. Not that after your salat or before your salat, you pick up the, make sure to pick up the Qur'an and recite it in a tartili fashion. Recite the Qur'an with tartil in your salat, number one. Number two, he says there's a chance here. وَرَتِّلِ الْقُرْآنَ تَرْتِيلًا means وَصَلِّ الصَّلَاةِ تَرْتِيلًا. Qur'an sometimes means salat. And then he, to prove it, he brings another verse of the Qur'an. Surah Isra, verse 78. إِنَّ قُرْآنَ الْفَجْرِ كَانَ مَشْهُودًا. He says, قُرْآنُ الْفَجْرِ. This verse, it has a beginning that I'm not going to recite. It's talking about pray in these times of the day, and then also the Fajr Salat. Make sure you do that one, because Salat al-Fajr is kana mashhuda. It is the witnessed Salat, which there's difference of opinion what it means. Some say that's where the angels come and they see. Some say something higher than that. Some might have other opinions. But it, whatever it is, it's an important Salat. Salat al-Fajr. Kana mashhuda. It is the witnessed Salat. Here it says Qur'an al-Fajr. Qur'an. Qur'an is being used for Salat. So Allama Tawtawai, he says, one of the possibilities here in this verse is that what is meant when it says رَتِّلِ الْقُرْآنِ تَرْتِيلًا, it's صَلِّ الصَّلَاةَ تَرْتِيلًا. Do your Salat in a tartili fashion, which means to do it in a harmonious, not too fast, not too slow fashion that I'll talk about. Your prayer should be like this. Who in the world could have thought of that? That's possibility number two. Possibility number three is, you know, the little puny one that I said I used to have. That once you're done with your salat, pick up the Qur'an and start reciting some verses of the Qur'an as well. Alright, which of these is closer to the truth? Which of these there's more of a chance that it's the true interpretation of the verse? He says, let's do the clues. Let's roll our sleeves up and look at the clues we have. As a matter of fact, I hate to break it to myself, that understanding that I had was the most off understanding. While I always thought that that's what it's talking about. But it can't mean that. Why? Allama Tawtawai, he says that when this verse and this surah was revealed, it was in the beginning of the prophethood of the Prophet. Surah Muzzammil is either the third or fourth surah to be revealed. So there is no Qur'an yet. There's just a Surah Al-Fatiha, maybe. And Suratul Alaq, the first five verses have been revealed only. Maybe Suratul Muddathir has been revealed, maybe not. There's a difference of opinion here. That's about it. There is no Qur'an in that sense that we know it today. So now the Qur'an, now these verses are saying, O Prophet, then pick up the Qur'an and then start reciting Qur'an as well. No. He says it's not possible. It's very unlikely. So which of the three do you choose? He says, so this one is out. The Shaykh Amin one is out. The Shaykh Amin interpretation was wrong, or is very hard to prove. Out of those first two, he says the first one is more likely. That in your Salat, when you're doing your Qur'an, when you're reciting Fatiha, do it in a tartili fashion. That's so he ruled out the other ones. He says the second one is a little bit more unlikely too, that the Qur'an here means Salat, because usually Qur'an is not used for Salat, although sometimes it is. But usually Qur'an means Qur'an, and those verses of the Qur'an that have been revealed. There's one way out of this, brothers and sisters, and I want you to see how to interpret certain verses. We have to have set the basis of our thought in other fields, other fields of Islamic thought. How can we fix it so that that little interpretation of mine can be right? If we say that in that famous debate between the greats, whether or not there was two revelations of the Qur'an or one revelation of the Qur'an, whether in that big debate we believe that there was two revelations. One was that gradual revelation over the years that came down to the Prophet. Over the 23 years that he was Prophet, different incidents happened, different things happened, verses would come down about the battles, about the Sahaba, about the troubles and Jannah and Nar and all of that. Gradually, there was a gradual revelation. There's also another version, some ulama say. They call it the daf'i revelation, all at once revelation of the Qur'an. Some of the ulama, based on some verses, they believe, and mufassirin, they believe that the Qur'an was revealed at once unto the heart of the Prophet as well. In the beginning, he received it all at once. Unto his heart, though, the essence of it, the core of the Qur'an was revealed unto him. That encompasses all of these verses. The truth of the Qur'an was revealed unto him. But then as time went on, it was revealed gradually by the verses that we see today. If we believe that the Qur'an, if I am one of those ulama who believes that the Qur'an had that all of a sudden, the sudden revelation, that it came down at once, that means the Prophet has the entire Qur'an now. Now the verse is saying, outside of your prayer, as a separate command, we want you to also recite from that Qur'an that we sent down to you. But you could say this is not a tafsir that they will accept. I don't want to get into the details why or what, but the point I want to make is that someone can also say this. You see how, just to understand this little verse, we have to have taken care of business over there, whether or not we had one or two revelations of the Qur'an before we can come to a conclusion. These are the points that sometimes I want to make. Alright, what is tartil now? This tartili fashion, this will relate to us a lot. Especially in the month of Ramadan, it will relate to us very much. Why? Because, as we all know, to be forgiven for our sins, we have to, this is just, you know, how some people will believe. We have to make sure that we finish the Qur'an from cover to cover, once at least, in the holy month of Ramadan. That means we're going to have to race through it because we're not going to get it finished. There's lots of other things we have to do in the day. But at the same time, I want to be forgiven for all my sins, right? So that's what I'll do. Or on the night of Qadr, the nights of Qadr, I'll do that. What do I do? I'll make sure I pray 100, 150, 200 rakats of salat. Why? Because one of the amal is to pray 100 rakat of salat. Okay. But what if this salat becomes an exercise? I did this once, I remember, and what I got out of it was everything except Allah. While the nights of Qadr, Shahr Ramadan, is only Allah. We sometimes disrespect the Qur'an by the way we recite it. Right there in Surah Al-Muzzammil, and this is one of the first surahs of the Qur'an, right there Allah is saying, I want you, when you recite Qur'an, to do it in a tartili fashion. What is tartil? What does it mean to do tartil? Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam, he explains, there's a nice hadith here. He says, tartil means to bayyinahu tabyinan, wala tahudhuhu hadda sha'ar, wala tanthurhu nathra ramal, ولكن أفزع قلوبكم القاسية ولا يكن هم أحدكم آخر السورة. This is exactly what is happening today. Actually, let me translate. He says, recite it clearly. بيّن تبيّن. To بيّن something means to clarify it, to make sure that every part of it is understandable. Okay, recite it clearly and do not recite fast the way you do with poetry. And not so slow as if it is scattered pebbles instead. So, you know, you've seen those people on the highway, right? We're always talking about how you're not supposed to speed. But sometimes in the fast lane, someone's going slow. That's as bad. Or it might even be more dangerous. You're going fast, all of a sudden you see, because you can't see when you're coming fast, straight, sometimes you don't understand that this guy's going slower. It causes big accidents. Imam Ali says, Don't go so fast, but at the same time, don't go so slow like it's scattered pebbles that you've thrown around. Right? The person is reading Quran, one word, one word, one word, as if these are not connected. No. Instead, bring fear into your hardened hearts through its recitation. So if that's going to happen, that means I'm going to have to do it at a normal pace, at a good pace, so that I can ponder over it at the same time. I'm not cutting it into pieces at the same time. And make sure, this is the part that's relevant to us today, make sure what is important to you isn't the end of the surah. You just want to finish it, that's all. Because when the only thing that's important to us is to finish it, that means we're going to race through it. Tartil means this, to do it in this fashion. What does that mean? That means that our Arabic recitation has to reach a point where we can do it fast enough, but not too fast and not too slow either, inshallah. All right. Now, let's get a little bit more spiritual here, a little more esoteric, so to speak. The Prophet, he's tired, and he has come home, he wants to rest. They're telling him, you have to pray, night prayer. Why? This shows us that there's something magical going on. If in a material world, with a materialistic ideology, you can't explain this. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Qur'an, when they speak beyond just the material. It's more than, there's more to it than that. Some will say that the reason why the Prophet has to pray so that he's ready for the mission and receiving revelation, because the next verses talk about receiving revelation, is because there is going to be a link between the supernatural and the natural, the physical and the metaphysical. Allah wants to send revelation down at the bottom of the chain of those causes and effects. The bottom of the chain is an angel that is going to bring revelation down. At the top is Allah, the bottom is the angel of revelation. Angel of revelation is not a natural being. Angel of revelation is a supernatural being. He wants to somehow connect with this world, this dimension, so to speak. Let's call it a dimension. It sounds cooler. This dimension of the natural world wants to be connected to the dimension of the supernatural world. So a person who wants to receive this revelation has to be so close to the supernatural to be able to receive the supernatural. How does that happen? Through ibadah. Through the connection that the Prophet is able to develop through the worship that he does. And that's why I said in the beginning that this was something specific to the Prophet. The fact that if you want to carry out a prophetic mission, that if you want to be in touch with the supernatural so that you can receive revelation, this is for the Prophet. He has to do this so that he is as close as possible to above so that the connection can be made. It's a workout for him. And even though he does that, and he does get way up there, still they say when revelation would come unto him, he would get so heavy his body. He would sweat. It wasn't an easy experience for him. Revelation is not easy. Receiving wahi is not easy. This itself tells us this is just for the Prophet, as a matter of fact. But what can we conclude from it? What we conclude from it is that if you want to do work like this, you want to fulfill a mission that has to do with Allah, if you're going to do that, you're going to have to get involved a little bit with things that have to actually do with Allah. And this is kind of disappointing. And sometimes you see people that are very active in their communities, which is good, alhamdulillah. They feel that this is something that has to be done. It's to serve the community. But they forget about themselves. And not only do they forget about themselves, they neglect the fact that if you're going to have an effect on the people, you have to be connected a little bit at least. Because at the end of the day, الْعِلْمُ نُورٌ يَقْذِفُهُ اللَّهُ فِي قَلْبِ مَنْ يَشَاءُ. This knowledge is an ilm. This ilm is a nur, is a light that Allah has to put in others. If you're not connected at all to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you can't expect to draw the people towards you. Right? Now probably everyone's going to get up and leave because that does not apply to me. Recite this salawat. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. All right. Inna sanulqi alayka qawlan thaqila. Next verse. This verse that I recited is the reason for all of the above. Those other verses that we had above. This verse is revealing why. Why we want you to get up, pray, do it in a tartili fashion. Because we're going to send unto you a heavy word. Revelation. It's heavy, you got to be ready. You got to have that spiritual muscle. Okay. Right here you see that link that I was talking about, that if you're going to have an effect on the people, you have to be connected yourself. This key for this heavy word of the Quran to be spread amongst the people, for this to happen, there has to be somewhat of a link. We have other verses for it as well. It's unfortunate. I said one side of one problem that we have, inshallah, those who are involved, and I'm not talking about necessarily this organization or community in general. Anyone who is involved in any activity has to take care of his Islam first himself. That's one. Number two, they can't expect to have an effect on the people while they are not taking the Prophet as an example and a role model and not following him in practice. Sometimes you see online, in social media, you see this. You have the whole fight that we have, this group, that party, that ideology within the Shia. This person is bad-mouthing that person. Although this person is famous, but like he will also slander sometimes. Astaghfirullah. This guy's mean, that guy's mean. The Quran says, Surah Al-Imran, verse 159. It is by Allah's mercy that you are gentle to them, the Prophet. You are gentle to them. And had you been harsh and hard-hearted, or hard-hearted, surely they would have scattered from around you. So excuse them and plead for their forgiveness and so on. That's one. We have the hadith, كُونُوا دُعَاتًا إِلَى اللَّهِ مِغَيْرَ أَلْسِنَتِكُمْ, from what I remember. If you want to invite people to Allah, do it in an Allahi fashion, in a godly fashion. Don't do it by your own terms. Fighting, bad-mouthing, slandering, abusing. Just to hurt the other one, just to break the other side. Some people, this is how they do da'wah. And to make things even worse, some take pride. I've heard this once somewhere. He said, I don't give akhlaqi lectures. Akhlaq, the Prophet, everything about him is akhlaq. The Quran is saying if you didn't have akhlaq, people would leave you. I don't give it. Why? Because you know there's nothing to it. There's not that important as if. Yes, we believe that educating is very important and that we're lacking in this field. Brothers and sisters, this is very important. Education is very important, and I am one of those who actually I'm offended when I see a Shia that isn't educated. I get upset. I feel like we haven't done our job. That has to be there. But akhlaq has to be there too. You can't take pride in the fact that this is something that is not talked about. This shows that there's a problem, there's a misunderstanding. We have to get as close as we can to the way the Prophet would do it, to the way the ulama would do it, to the way Allah wants us to do it. So what is this heavy word? Let's see what this heavy word means. Right away we'll say, what does it mean? It means the Quran, right? This heavy word that, oh Prophet, we want you to be ready for. Through all this akhlaq, through all this ibadah and all that, we want you to be ready for, to accept, to receive. What is this heavy word now, brothers and sisters? It's the Quran, right? It's the revelation, right? Okay, what's your reason for that? What if it's something else? We have, for example, hadith Qudsi. Things that Allah, they say, has said, but it's not part of the Quran. Okay? What if that's what is meant by it? What's your reason? Why? How are you ruling out that, how are you proving that what is meant by قول and ثقيلة is the Quran? He says we have good proof for that. He says, these verses were revealed when? Look at this. Just the history about, and paying attention to this history is helping us out so much to understand things. He says, if these verses had been revealed in the end of the prophethood of our Prophet, then that would be a question. That, what does قَوْلًا ثَقِيلًا mean? Because it's been like 20 years, 22, 23 years that the Prophet has been receiving revelation. Now a verse comes that says, we want you to be ready because we want to send you a heavy word. There we couldn't say it's the Qur'an, because the Qur'an has been being revealed all these years anyway. So if this was to get ready for the Qur'an, it should have been in the beginning. Right here, Allama Tawtawi says, look. He says, look, it's revealed in the this verse came right in the beginning. We want you to be ready for the heavy word that's going to come to you. This fact that it was revealed in the beginning is very good evidence, he says, for this verse to be talking about the Qur'an. The قَوْلًا ثَقِيلًا being the Qur'an. Since it's the beginning of the prophethood of the Prophet. Now why this Qur'an is even called heavy is another story itself that we're going to have to talk about. I can get into it, but we won't end. So I'll make all of you happy, and I'll end 5 minutes early, inshallah. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.